And so today is a special day. This is a day that people all across our nation are celebrating the sacredness of human life. Now, for many people, it is an anti-abortion day. That's what we mean when we say sanctity of human life. But I would say to you, sanctity of human life is much more than just not having an abortion with children. I do think it's important that we know that God does care. That God does care about the unborn. And that the unborn also are created in the image of God. Let's not be confused. There was an NFL game 2 weeks ago. Young defensive player, DeMar Hamlin, from the Buffalo Bills, made a routine tackle. As he made the routine tackle, the offensive player kind of put his head and shoulder down to make some contact, which is typical, happens every game many, many times. But this time, DeMar Hamlin collapsed and fell to the ground. He was near death. His heart would stop. And an amazing thing happened. Everything stopped. Everything. Players gathered around. They made a big circle. They didn't want people gawking. Didn't want people intruding. And they prayed. People prayed. People who might not even have a strong faith background prayed. And come to find out that DeMar Hamlin is a very devout Christian. People were praying. People were praying around the world, around our nation. They were praying on the TV sets. They were praying in the studios. Some broadcasters, people of faith, chose to pray vocally, something you would never do unless you'd really be fired. But people prayed. It was amazing. What may be more amazing is that the money lost that day was millions and millions and millions of dollars from ticket sales, from advertising, from concessions, from whatever is going on for an NFL football game, which is massive amounts of money. It was all canceled, stopped, take it on the chin. Losses, huge, because human life is valuable. It's worth something. And so the whole sports world stopped and they took note that this life was worth honoring, respecting, and cherishing. And I would say not only the life of a football player, a devout Christian football player, an American football player. Now, much more than just that. I think the life of every baby that is to be born is valuable. I think the life of every special needs child in America, in the world, is valuable. I think the life of every elderly person, every person in a nursing home, every person in an ER or an ICU. I think every person about whom some may speculate, should they even be alive, are created, struck in the image of God, and they are sacred. So today, I wanted to share with you on the Sanctity of Human Life Day, the sanctity of life, caring as life winds down. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 8 gives us our text today. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, one of the pastors in Paul's circle of mentoring. He writes to him to remind him of the diversity of his congregation and the needs that some have, particularly those who are elderly. He says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, and younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." This is the word of God. Why is life sacred? Why do we say that? Why do we promote that, announce that? Why do we push that? Why do we have it printed on shirts and on bracelets and billboards? Why do we keep saying life is sacred? Because it is. It is sacred. That is, it is set aside. It is holy. Each person is created in the image of God. It's why in the book of Genesis chapter 1, very beginning, verse 27, the scripture says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." You probably have some coins in your purse or the ashtray in your car. And you know that coin is struck with an image. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. It's struck with somebody's image, somebody significant to us. Someone that we revere and hold in high esteem. And so that money for transaction purposes, it becomes valuable only after it is stamped, particularly with the reduction of the amount of silver and other precious metals that are used today. Probably a penny isn't even worth a penny anymore. But because Abraham Lincoln is struck on it, and it says, "In God we trust, e pluribus unum, out of the one many," so, or out of the many one. So we look at that and we say, it's struck with an image. Somebody told me once that it's not worth the trouble to reach over with energy and pick up a penny off the floor. It takes more energy than it's worth, except it says, "In God we trust." I'll always pick up a coin, not to try to save extra money or purchase something. I never want those words, "In God we trust," wasted on a parking lot or on a driveway or a sidewalk. Each of us is created in the image of God. You are. And when you feel down and you feel like you're not worth much or life's just not going your way, understand this, that you were created in the image of God. And even more than that, you were not only created in the image of God, but you were remade in the image of Christ. And His Holy Spirit lives within you if you are born again. Do you listen to Him? Do you submit to Him? Do you surrender to Him? Because your life is sacred because of Him. We are imprinted with the divine. And we will never have fulfillment. Never have fulfillment until we embrace the one upon whom our hearts are imprinted. We are not our own. We're His. Now, politics makes things interesting. And I get turned off a bit in the political world because sometimes you just wonder, what are people thinking? And then sometimes we make a big deal politically about an issue that honestly probably don't really feel that terribly big about in our personal heart. But there are some things that I take very seriously. When people say, I have a right to an abortion, I've got the Constitution on my wall in my basement. It's not there. I've got a little copy of it in my desk at home. It's not there. There's no right to a constitution. There was an interpretation at one point by a seated Supreme Court that overreached. And the recent Supreme Court decision was never about stopping abortion. We're mistaken. 90% mistake. Oh, yeah, that stopped abortion. No, it had nothing to do with stopping abortion. Listen to me again. The recent overturn of Roe versus Wade had nothing to do with overturning abortion. It simply said that our previous administration on the Supreme Court overreached. It was not their call to make. But that decision belongs to the states. So what the overturn of Roe versus Wade did was it said to all the states, now the ball's in your court. What are you going to do about this? You can do the right thing. You're going to make right decisions. Are you going to pass laws? Because it's on you. It doesn't belong to the federal government. So we don't get to rest on our laurels and go, sure, glad the government stopped abortion. Did not. In fact, abortion in some states is more than it was before. But that's on them. And Tennessee's on us. And our legislators have a responsibility to do the right thing. And we have a responsibility to hold their feet to the fire and make sure they do the right thing, because we are responsible for our land. Some people say, but I've got the right. You're trying to control my body. You're trying to control my body because a bunch of old white men smoking cigars in a back room of Washington made that decision. Yeah, really? Are you just listening to Twitter and stuff? Is that where you get your information? No. People say, it's my body, my choice. Is it? So when COVID was at its peak, how come it seemed like almost everybody that voiced that expression had no problem saying, and you better get the shot or you'll be fired? No, my body, my choice. No, it's not. Which way is it? My body, my choice. First of all, if you're a believer, it's not your body. It's his body. If you're born again, you belong to him. You're in his hands. He holds you. He loves you. He saved you. He guides you. He directs you. The scripture tells us that that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. So what honors God? Because the truth of the matter is, let's just be blunt in a nutshell with this. This all boils down to free sexuality. I want to sleep with who I want, whenever I want, and if I'm pregnant, I want to get rid of the evidence. That's what it boils down to. You can slice it and dice it any way you want. It always goes back to that. I want to do what I want. It's none of your doggone business. I'll do what I want with whoever I want. And if I get caught, I want it taken care of. Now, sometimes things happen. You know, they just do. And we find ourselves expecting a child, a gift from God. And for those people that say, didn't go exactly like I planned, but it's okay. It's a gift from God. It is okay. It is a gift from God. And I celebrate. On this day, I celebrate people that had babies. What a beautiful, God-honoring thing. So this is what part of today's about. To say that life is sacred. It's a good thing. Not to sneer in the face of God's righteousness, but to say, Lord, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach, a disgrace to all people. To hold to sin leads to our own demise. The most disturbing news I've heard lately is that every state where abortion is proposed and held legal by the leaders that will bear this for all eternity, if a child is being aborted but lives, You know, they were going to abort the child because they thought there's no way this child will live. And suddenly, the child's able to breathe. There are those leaders that want to deny that child medical care and just lay there and die. Be done with it. Just be done with it. Now, think about that. There are states in America that are wanting physicians to know and nurses to know that if you're trying to kill the baby that you don't want and somehow it lives, and they do, it's not the most uncommon thing, you will be fined, arrested, whatever penalty, if you try to save that life. So we celebrate infanticide. Let the baby stay dead. How far is that removed from, well, I've had a baby for 2 weeks and it's not what I thought it'd be. Can I just, you know, end its life? So righteousness exalts a nation. Now the world gives us a philosophy. When we send our kids to college, they're not going to hear from secular professors what I'm sharing. They're going to hear, life's all about me. It's all about us, all about you. What do you want? You want a free life? Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you what, for many generations, people that either married or not married, surprisingly found themselves pregnant, you know, they had the baby, they loved their baby, celebrated their baby, and in the end, life is good. We act like if we take responsibility, our plans are destroyed. When we ignore that the image of God is on an unborn child, on a brand, I love hearing a baby. I love hearing a baby when I say that. When an elderly person is in memory care, and everybody's like, oh, got to go see grandma. Image of God is implanted on them. When it's a child that's Down syndrome, they're 9 years old and they're starting to figure out they're not like everybody else, but they are in the fact that they also have the image of God. Child has autism and they can't hardly control themselves. When a person has amputations and they've lost their limbs and they're thinking, it's not worth living anymore, the image of God is still there. Life is sacred. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He gives quality of life. And we are not God. So life is sacred. But what about life's final chapters in our book? What about the final chapters? They don't always seem to go so well, do they? If you've ever stood in front of the mirror to fix your hair, brush your teeth, or shave, and you're like, wow, where did those wrinkles come from? Why is there extra flesh where there didn't used to be flesh? Wow. How come I can't see as well or hear as well? Why can't my husband hear as well? How come he hears okay sometimes but not others? I have no opinion. Why does our health fail? Life is a great adventure. We've lived a wonderful life from our early years and our teens and our 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and so on. And life's an adventure. Particularly people of faith with God, life is an adventure. We have dreams and goals, experiences, accomplishments, and possessions. And possessions. I think one of the saddest things I've ever had to experience in ministry is visiting an elderly person in a nursing home or assisted living, and the rooms are small perhaps, and you can't hardly sit down because they've got two big beds, a chest, a china cabinet, and several other things that they bought with their own hard-earned money. And it kind of defines who they are in some ways. And they can't leave it behind. And so they fill up a little bitty room with all kinds of stuff because a lot of that is who they are. And it's not who we are. Our possessions are not who we are. No, we are so much more than our possessions. But things change, don't they? Health changes. Kids grow up. Kids move out. Our income gets fixed. We lose loved ones, not only our parents, but our partners. And sometimes we're forgotten. No one wants to be forgotten. It scares us, the thought that people may not come around anymore. They're too busy. They've got Little League games and Little League basketball, and they've got dances and concerts and sporting events and getaway trips. And I don't do those things anymore because I have trouble walking, sitting, or arthritis, we might say. You know, our nation does not do a very good job in elder care. We just don't. There's not hardly a month goes by that I don't have someone ask me, what do I do with my mom or my wife? What do I do in times of difficulty and crisis? What do I do financially? What do I do with the government? What do I do with my insurance? And then throw COVID on it, and you see accounts of an elderly man standing at an exterior window trying to look through the curtains to his wife, and both of them touch the pain because they feel another pain. Family and church, we have to honor God. This is our opportunity. This is where we step up. We can talk about abortion, and we should, and I have. But what about the last chapters? What hypocrites are we if we stand on a street corner telling people to honk if they support life? But we can't even remember the last time we stopped to see grandma. We can't remember the last time we took a shift. We can't remember the last time we wrote a card. The Bible says, those who choose not to help financially if the need is there, those who are not aware of their elderly family members, those who really count on them, to ignore them, you're worse than an unbeliever, the scripture says. That's pretty blunt. The word in some translations is infidel. That carries a little meaning, doesn't it? If you don't care for those in your family that are in need, you are an infidel, because they also have the imago Dei, the image of God. There are three fears. This is a very accurate scientific survey. It was done several years ago. It's been repeated. It's always the same answer, almost the same percentages. Three fears every aging person has. Number one, by a mile, it's not even close, a fear of going to a nursing home. I think part of that may be because we remember 40 years ago when it wasn't really assisted living, wasn't well handled, wasn't an encouraging place, but it was a place where maybe they have four beds in a small room with just a little curtain to separate you, and got some middle-aged ladies puffing away on cigarettes in the break room, and the place smells not pleasant. And we'd rather be dead than in those circumstances. You know, it's not quite like that anymore, which is a good thing. But that fear still remains. We don't want to be put away. Although there are times when memory care is needed, when physical nursing care is needed, when those around us aren't physically able, understandable, but it's still a fear. Or the second one is to lose our mental abilities. That's a big fear. That's probably my number one fear, to lose your mental abilities. You can debate with me whether that's already happened. My children already do. We are concerned that I won't remember stuff, that I can't take care of myself, I can't do basic things It is anxiety ridden. The third one, we don't want to become a burden. We don't want to burden our families. We don't want to take away and deny them life in its abundance. It's our desire that we might not have to go through that. Those three fears. So life's final chapters can be scary, can be challenging to us. So what do we do? What do we do who are aging? What do we do who have family that are elderly? What do we do with folks that count on us and need us? Well, first, the scriptures make it abundantly clear. We help financially if at all possible. We don't worry about saving every penny we can and living the high life. If it takes a little bit of our money to help provide, then we do it. When we walk out of the house, you got to understand that the people that raised us most likely sacrificed greatly that we might get ahead in life. And so it's good later in life, as God has blessed us, that we help provide if we can. Something not as huge as having to buy a house or pay all the bills, but maybe something as simple as take someone out to eat and you pay. They never pay. Throw a fixed income. Life's tough. You pay. Care for them. Give thoughtful gifts. Every now and then, go to the grocery store and load up a bunch of groceries. Surprise mom or dad. Say, I know you like all this stuff, and I was just thinking about you. Here you go. Happy birthday, but it's not your birthday. So financially, if we can, we help people out. Maybe with practical decisions, we help. Mom and dad aren't sure how to do this, how to install the TV and get it set up. Don't make them pay somebody. Go help them out. You can do that. If they're having to decide what to do about the yard, say, well, Dad, I've got an hour once a week. I can help mow your yard for a while if that'll help you. Just practical decision-making and chores that need to be done. It is amazing that people who are so consumed in themselves that it never occurred to them to help out a parent. Maybe offer emotional support. Maybe offer love. Maybe offer patience. Have you ever been to the grocery store and you're in a hurry and you're trying to go down the aisles and get what you need, and it seems like every other shopping cart is stopped dead center in the middle of the aisle? Somebody's leaning over, straining, trying to read the labels. And if you had a horn, you'd probably go, beep, 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 beep. And you're thinking, why did you park your cart right in the middle of the aisle? Do you not know how to pull it over to the side? And you get agitated. How do you feel? Pretty good, self-righteous and strong. I am so much better than that old person. But if you're patient, if you wait, they'll notice. They'll go, oh, I'm sorry. And the answer to that is, it's okay. I'm not in any big hurry. And you just take your time and go around. Maybe you say, may I help you with something? I'm 6'1". There are things on the top that as you get older and you bend over a bit, you can't reach anymore. It's so easy to say, can I reach that for you? Is there anything else you need? Patience, kindness, whether it's for your family or God's family or the community family, whatever, God gives us the power to offer support, active love, and to offer patience. Mom, can I take you somewhere today? I know you haven't been comfortable driving for a while, and you do it. You get to spend time with the woman that raised you. Now, that doesn't always go real well because sometimes there were some issues. But for the most part, it's time well spent. You will never regret time spent doing things for elderly family members. What do? You call. Do you know how many people are dropped off at retirement places and nobody calls or visits? Ask one of the workers. They'll tell you. Often it's not much. Out of sight, out of mind. Call. Don't text. A lot of senior adults don't like to text. They want to hear a voice. I got to be honest with you, and I can burn up a phone texting as well as anybody, but when I hear my kids' voices, even if it's their voicemail, it is so much better than a text, no matter how many emoticons there are. A card that is sent is something that can be read and read and read again. It can be put with honor on the wall where you live so that people know you've got folks that care about you and love you. And a visit. Oh my. There's nothing like a visit. There's nothing like being taken out to lunch by your child or grandchild. But we're busy. We've got ball practice and have you ever heard of TikTok? I need lots of time for my TikTok. I'll give you a little hint. You will answer to God for that. You will, I promise you. We will answer to God for the silly, stupid things we do when God needed us to be kind and loving to those who wait for the phone to ring. Wait for the mail to come, even if it's all bills. Wait for a voice on the other end, even if they're trying to sell me a warranty for my car. We get desperate. They should not have to be desperate. The people who love them should. So what does that mean? Well, the scripture tells us in the Ten Commandments, you should honor your mother and your father so that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We teach our children how to love the elderly by letting them watch how we love the elderly. I'm going to tell you a secret. If we're too busy for mom or dad or grandpa or grandma, if we haven't expected our kids to honor grandpa and grandma, and you might want to say, well, if it's not sincere, let me be blunt again. I couldn't care less if it's sincere. Just do it. Because after a while, it'll start being sincere. But if we don't expect our children to honor their elderly, it's not going to happen. And here's the scary part. When you're that elderly person, it won't be anything for you. I promise you. I promise you. If you did not model to your children how to honor the elderly, when you're the elderly, it will not suddenly happen for you. Isn't that scary? I'm not trying to scare you. What I'm really trying to say is, let's do it. Let's remember. Listen, we've got deacons that keep an eye on widows and widowers. We've got a team of people that keep up with homebound. I have people that let me know, hey, if you get a minute, I know so-and-so would appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate you letting me know what's going on with them. Then I can respond. Others can respond. We've got classes that keep up with each other and minister and love each other. And we know what we need to do for our own family. We know what we need to do. We just need to do it. So here's your invitation today. It's not a musical invitation. It's not a big public plea. It's really simple. Get off your pew and do something. There it is. It's not, let's pray about this. Stop. If life is sacred in the last chapters, then let's prove we believe the word of God and we have a compassionate heart and let's do it. So today, your invitation for everybody here, do something kind for an older folk. Now I know what's going to happen next Sunday. I'm going to have a few people come with tears in their eyes and go, I had three different people do something kind for me. Am I really that old? I don't know. But wouldn't you rather have somebody be kind to you if you're old than ignore you? So let's do it. And if you say, I am the elderly, great, find another elderly. But let's be kind, compassionate, thoughtful, directed, particularly in your own household. Listen, there's not a week goes by that I don't feel this yearning in my heart to do something for my mom. It's been 4 years now, maybe five. Been a while. There's never a week goes by that I don't think, boy, I'd like to call Dad. Wonder what he'd think about this. It's been 13 years. It's still a part of me. It's still a huge part of me. So now with my kids, I've reversed roles with them. I don't sit around and wait for my kids to call me because they get busy like I used to get busy. I call them. I call them. And if I get a text back that says, hey, Daddy, what do you want? I reply back, but after I stop, I write back and I'll go, well, I want to hear your sweet voice. So let's make sure we're honoring the sanctity of life. Do what you can. Give all you can. Particularly those of you who are believers. Because life is short. Eternity's long. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. Father, thank you for your children today. And for the truth of Scripture, that we are imprinted with the Imago Dei, and we need to practice the compassion of Christ. We need to make these last chapters precious chapters and celebrate everything special about our loved ones. As we go, help us to teach our children and their children so that we continue on the legacy of Imago Dei. On this day, inspire and direct us in the name of Jesus. Amen.